Can you just tell me what you did with tails assays and your secondary supplies over that time period? Have you assumed with all the new enrichment capacity, more efficiencies and lower tails assays, or what did you actually do with that?
We deal with tails assays on the demand side, and we do assume lower tails assays in the later years, yes.
Thanks. I assume that on the demand side, your analysis doesn't take into account what we can call strategic inventory build. If it does that room for upside? And have you heard any evidence of specific targets, say with respect to millions, say for China, millions of pounds of targeted strategic inventory build, or in terms of years of potential demand?
First off, no, we do not include strategic inventory build, and you know it's because, like I said, our demand line is simply reactor requirements. Have I heard of a specific number or years from China? No, but we know they've been really busy, so they're stockpiling it for future use.
My other question is also on the demand side. Have you ever looked at or considered the human resources challenges faced with potential nuclear build-out? I mean, this involves nuclear engineers, nuclear operators. You know, are there graduating enough human resources in this field to actually see those 97 in your demand scenario? Is that something that we should be thinking about?
Quite frankly, we don't look at it down to that micro of a level. However, I would say that if anything, Cameco's demand forecast is generally quite conservative. And, you know, as I noted, we do not meet the China or the India targets, and that's kind of in an attempt to perhaps compensate for some of those infrastructure issues.
Your point about mines struggling is well taken, and I noticed that your existing mine forecast is a little lower than the WNOA number. Can you tell us how much lower?
I have the exact number if you'd like to know.
Thank you.
We are about 59 million pounds lower than them. And like I said, that really is for a reason, because we have seen a lot of production issues in the last few years.
So that's cumulative from existing mines?
That's correct.
And when you say 10 years, does that include all of 2009?
9 to 18, yes.
Thank you.
Just following up along the same sort of lines on the production side there, with respect to the WNA forecast that was published last week,
mm-hmm.
And you know, I think Steve Kidd made a few statements on this saying there is sufficient supply to meet reactor requirements. If one was to take Cameco's supply forecasts and then apply them to the WNA demand curve, if you like, so far as I can see, at the moment, the WNA supply and demand situation still looks fairly narrow and liable to supply disruptions. How much lower is the line, or how much closer are the two lines?
It's a difficult comparison to make, because obviously we're talking about existing mines, you know, that are mines that we know are in existence today. But let me give you some background on the WNA model, because like I said, I was involved in it. In the WNA model, we needed to be impartial, and we needed to come up with a reasonable number. So what we did is we took every single production center that we had enough information to include. And I'm talking, you know, some of them were, you know, way out there, but every single production center that we had a startup date, reserves and, well, resources, not reserves, and some indication of an annual capacity number, and we included that in the model. Now, we grouped them into a variety of categories based on, you know, how reasonable we thought they would actually come to pass. So the highest category was called prospective new mines. But we included every single mine in the world. Then we looked at them and we said, okay, this can't happen. I mean, we've seen everything's been delayed. We've seen people miss their production targets. So we delayed some of the mines that had not yet come online, and we cut them back and said, you know, there might be 10 million pounds from prospective new production in this year, but we're only going to assume that 80% of that, 80% of the mines come on. So it was quite a different methodology than what Cameco applies. We don't use a model. We use our best judgment and the best information that we have.
So not to go into too much detail, so what did you do with Olympic Dam?
I don't know the numbers offhand, but they are included in a variety of categories. There's a portion of it in existing. There's a portion of it in planned, which is the third upper category, and a portion in prospective. Just so you know, we cut it back a lot from the previous year's report, though, you know, based on their information.
Can you comment on the the costs of the new mines versus the existing mines, like on a percentage basis, or can we assume it's going to be lower cost? Or
it's not analysis that's publicly done in the industry.
Any sort of guess on what they've done?
I'd prefer not to. I Bob, did you say Jerry has a...
It was a private guess.
I honestly, I'd prefer not to.
If a long-term price expectation is of interest, then I'd prefer to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Follow my own rules.
If a long-term equilibrium price is really what you're getting at, Rob, I think our senior people would suggest something in the $50 to $60 U.S. a pound range. And, of course, it depends where the U.S. dollar goes in the next few years. If it should weaken significantly, then perhaps in the upper end of that range or even higher.
Yeah, I have two questions, one on the U.S. and one on Russia. The 153 million pounds of, quote, excess uranium, is that clean material?
No. The DOE material, there's very little clean stuff. That includes tails and all kinds of things. A lot of it couldn't even be made available to the market for many years. There's cleanups that need to be done.
And then if I heard you correctly, you're saying they're supplying 3 million pounds in 2009. Against current, which should be 10% of U.S. demand, and then it goes to 5 million pounds in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So the U.S. demand going up two-thirds?
That is their schedule, okay?
Okay.
When the DOE published their inventory management plan, they published a schedule of how much uranium we could anticipate would come to the market. Now, I haven't seen the 3 million pounds yet in 2009, but what the point was is they wanted to start introducing inventories and ramp them up slowly so as not to cause significant disruption to the U.S. market.
And then you said they will also sell extra for initial cores. Now, the United States, I think there's a grand total of one reactor being currently built. There's a bunch planned, so that's not going to be a factor of any consequence for some time to come, then, I would think.
Not unless somebody's out there looking for cores. That's exactly right.
Okay. Now, on the Russian situation, though, of course, they're downblending HEU, and that will end at the end of 2013. Why would they not want to supply? Why would they not continue downblending beyond that point? Or will they keep downblending but use the material for their own purposes and uses?
There's different minds here, and I hope I'm not going offside saying this, but we believe that they will continue to use HEU, but likely consume it themselves.
They'll continue to downblend?
Downblend, but it won't come to the West. If they do that, they'll use it to supplement their own inventories. The WNA market report assumes that HEU2 does not happen, and I can tell you that Russia was pretty adamant that it's not going to happen.
Okay. And beyond the HEU deal, which will expire at the end of 2013, what other flows from other Russian sources are there?
There's a number of them, and it's complicated and interesting, but the Russians re-enrich their own tails for use. They also have government stockpile, most of which we don't believe is natural uranium, but again, these, you know, it's all kind of esoteric, that, you know, it's in some form that needs to be cleaned up. However, they do, you know, periodically release stuff from there. And I believe they still have pretty large stockpiles. Unfortunately, it's impossible to get a good number.
And to come back to the DOE one more time, to this 153 million pounds, how much of that roughly do you think is clean and how much would need to be processed in some form
I've got
to make
here.
It marketable?
I've got it here. Yeah, 13 plus 32 is 45 million pounds roughly.
It's clean.
If you'd like, I can actually send you the schedule they have with the list of products. It's public information.
Thank you.
What's your assumption for Cigar Lake?
What did Grant say earlier? Thank you.
Well, that completes our program for today. We hope you found it informative. Before we close, I want to thank each of our speakers for their excellent contributions to the agenda. And I'd also like to thank our extended IR team, Rochelle and Lori and Lisa and Linda, and the project team at Zoo. You've all done a great job, so a round of applause for the speakers and the staff. And thanks to you who joined us by way of the webcast. We'll sign off now from Saskatoon and wish you a good evening.